Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Dub Nation, it's Steve Kerr. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. And you never know when I'll be on the River Islands guest line. So make sure to keep it locked on 95.7 The Game.
Not today. I mean, keep it locked to 95.7 The Game, but he's not going to be on the River Islands guest line today.
We might replay that thing.
We could.
508, am I right? It holds. If Grandy wouldn't have played it last night at 6:03.
Yeah, Grandy just kills that, runs it into the ground. Speaking of which, speaking of replaying pieces, I didn't catch enough. I caught a good portion of Steiny and Goo, but did we have some fun and rub the Steve Kerr drop into his face?
Yeah, they played it a bunch.
Hopefully about 18 times. All right.
Probably more.
Stupid question.
That was a stupid question, Steiny. Stupid.
Stupid. Too stupid.
Yeah. Well, Steiny opened the show with, you guys aren't going to bring me down. I don't care what Steve Kerr says.
That was a stupid question, Steiny. Stupid.
Well,
because he was coming off his win down the hall with Sarah and Vinny.
Yeah.
And they're bridging the gap.
It. Yeah, he's feeling it.
So he came in and he was like super happy, despite Steve Kerr.
Yeah. Well, that means it got to him.
Right.
Yeah. If he started the show that way, it got to him.
And maybe next week, Steiny, and you know I love you, but come with a better question. Because I'll ask it again.
Seriously. Work on your material, if you will.
Work on your material.
Yeah. Okay, Greg. we'll talk to Greg in about 13 minutes. Want to keep getting your phone calls. We promised Draymond Green on the Draymond Green Show his response to the Joe Lacob email gate.
Obviously a lot made of Joe Lacob responding to a fan email. Listen, Joe is passionate as hell. You're either going to love his passion or you're going to hate it. Whether you love his passion or whether you hate it, the one thing you do know is the most important thing to Joe is winning. And if it's not working, if you're not winning, Joe has a problem. And that's just how Joe rolls. It is what it is. You know, no one's in our organization is cracking from it. I think, again, when you've worked so long with someone, you know how they are. You know what makes them tick. You know what pisses them off, right? So I don't think any of us are sitting there like, oh, man, Joe said this. Like, quite honestly, Joe will say these things to your face. That's just who he is.
Yeah, I don't think that this shook any of their trees. I just think that there were some interesting sentences in there. And I also think that for me, when I said yesterday that, like, yeah, it gets my attention and it can be a little bit concerning. It's really not so much in the moment. It's more about later. And I've said this, I've been very clear, and I think a lot of you agree with me. No different than what many of you feel about Steve Kerr. I wonder how great of an owner Joe Lacob is going to be when Steph Curry is not on the team anymore. I wonder.
Depends on what they do and what he does.
Like, he'll still be good from the perspective of, I think, his heart and his mind are in the right place. But I don't think that he can be, snap your fingers, as maybe effective as he thinks he can be. Let's put it that way.
I'll buy that. And it's interesting when we talk about owners, because if you're a fan, you want your owner to have a desire to win.
Yep.
And I do think that, you know, Jed and the Johnsons and Lacob, they all have that same desire. Now, how do you go about doing that? If you are in the NFL, you're hard capped. And so the best thing you can do is put good people in position and give them the cash to be able to have the cap be cap schmap, as you always say. So I look at Jed, and they've done that, where, you know, you have a contract that's maybe not great, and you rework it. You give a player a cash up front. That way you can kind of offset down the road. You kick the can down the road, and if you're in the NBA, Joe Lacob has done everything he can to build this thing up under the same constraints. He's been in the tax. He actually had the highest tax bill
Absolutely.
In history.
Absolutely.
And the Johnsons down the street. Well, that's an interesting one because, and the one thing that resonated as you were laying that out is what he said a couple years ago about breaking even.
Yeah.
You know, we're just trying to make sure we can at least break even. And so ownership, if you're not going to be a championship team, then at least like make it so I can afford to go.
Yeah. I mean, the Devers thing went a long way for me in terms of what the Johnsons are willing to do to put something good out on the field. Let's go to Andy in Novato. Hi, Andy. Thank you for calling.
Hey, guys. I really wanted to talk about the Sharks, but there's too much basketball to go there. When you play the Steve Kerr saying, you know, I want to give everyone a chance, and he gave Will Richard a chance, and he was really good.
Yeah.
And then he says, well, I got to sit somebody. I can only play 11. It's kind of counterintuitive that everyone gets a chance. This guy gets his chance. He plays really well. But now he can't play because he's a rookie and there's too many guys. There really is too many guys. We need to make a 4-for-1 trade. And it's just too many. And it's so frustrating that it's been 3 to 4 years they haven't been able to get a big man. I counted last offseason, 21 big men got moved, and the Warriors didn't try to get in on anybody. It's not basketball. You know, look, Houston has 6 guys, 6'10 or bigger. San Antonio, all these teams are huge. What are we doing? When are we going to wake up?
Hey, Andy, I mean,
when Steph is gone. Yeah, exactly.
Thanks so much, Andy. Appreciate it. I want to go to Andy's first point about, like, okay, you say you want to give everyone a chance, and then he plays well, and then he ends up on the bench. I think it's a dangerous game to play, quite frankly, which it sounds like some of you are asking for, which is if I put a player out on the floor and they play well, then they get more. Well, if you're doing that with everybody, now you're really stuck, because that's going to lead to two things. One, it's going to lead to less continuity. A lot of you have been asking for continuity. If you just start playing the reward game, which is you have a good night, you back in again the next night. You have a bad night, you're next to me, sitting here on the bench. That kind of punitive behavior or like reward system, that's going to lead to a lot of ups and downs.
And resentment.
You're never going to get the continuity that you desire. Will Richard did look good at times. He didn't look like amazing, but he looked really good. He looked really good. And a lot of these other Warriors that are all in that sort of like, I don't know, the gray zone. They'll have it, you know what I mean? Even you Pods haters, he has good games. He has good moments. He hit a huge shot in Portland the other night. But I've also never seen Pods look seemingly great the whole time. It's always, that was good possession.
Yep.
That was a bad possession. That was a good possession. That was a bad possession. So now, what do you do with that if you're playing the reward system? I just don't think it's that simple. Will Richard is going to contribute on this team. Steve Kerr, the way I read his comments were, we're searching, and I can afford to sit Will for a few days because he's a rookie. While we search, he may be a part of the final solution. He might not be. We're still searching.
DeAnthony Melton is the guy who I think makes him more irrelevant, because Melton is a better defender at this point. And he's not quite the same scorer that Will is, but you don't need either one of them to score. And he's a veteran. So if it comes down to Melton or Richard, it's going to be Melton 9 times out of 10.
That's a good point.
The one that makes me scratch my head, Mark, is Gary Payton II. And I'm just looking here. He starts against Utah, 21 minutes. He gets 9 points. You get the win. Then he plays 5 minutes. Then he plays 25 minutes. He goes for 19 in the win over New Orleans. He was amazing in that game. Then he plays 26 and a half minutes. He gets you 13 points in a loss to OKC. 3 minutes, 26 minutes, 4 minutes,
four minutes.
That's the one where, and I don't even know if we should have asked that. Maybe next week we could ask about like the Gary Payton II yo-yo. Is it just all matchups? But he'll play a lot and play well. He'll play a lot and play okay. And then he'll play not at all.
Yeah, and you're right.
It's a weird one.
I don't know what the matchup conversations are like before these games. That might have a lot to do with it. I know that they really grind this stuff out in terms of matchups and a plan, and then they try to be ready. It's kind of like going out on a day trip with a kid. If we're going to have a plan.
Yep.
We better be ready to change it. And I think that's what they do. Like, they've got their plan, and then if somebody's playing really well, maybe they stick with it a little longer. If they're playing really poorly, a little bit shorter. I think that's how they do it. That's my only guess. But, yeah, like, again, this all comes down to whether or not you want to hold the Warriors organization to the fire for the fact that they're searching. I don't. They're searching. They'll sit. They've told us they have not found something that works yet.
And the reason why they're searching is because the players that they have aren't good enough to be ironclad. Like, yeah, you're the dudes. And I don't want to compare them to OKC because OKC actually has 12 or 13 guys who all could play and they're all amazing. But you look at this Warrior team and you've got four guys who are ironclad. Pods is one of them, and you may not love that, but he's an ironclad. He leads the team in total minutes. And beyond that, you've got old guy hurt, younger guy, maybe not ready, seven-footer who can only shoot threes, 6'9 guy who's terrible on offense. And so you've got a lot of like pieces and parts, and this is not hockey where you can just do a line change.
I mean, we can do this. Like, if you want to do it this way, like, they're searching, and you'll go, oh, there's been no cohesiveness. And I think to your point, it would be fair to come back and say, I don't know any players who have earned cohesiveness.
Right.
If you all want absolute ironclad, as you said, 30 minutes a night, then you've got to go earn that. And I know what some of you are going to say. Well, Pods hasn't earned it, and he gets it. It's a fair retort, and I'll continue to say, it's simply because of the position he plays. But also, if you've noticed lately, those minutes are going down. With Melton coming back. No, they are. He's had a handful of games where he's barely gotten to 20 minutes. That's true. So again, I think this is true for all players. You want 30 minutes? Be amazeballs. Go become impossible to bench.
That's right.
So we're sponsored by Surfside. Warriors are back. Cheer on your Warriors with an ice cold Surfside. Only 100 calories, 2 grams of sugar, 0 bubbles. Easy to sip and enjoy. It is not a seltzer. It's Surfside. Proud partner of the Golden State Warriors. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly. All right. Dibs has been working on his material. It's maybe the hardest half hour of the week for him. He really, really has to bring it. The pressure is on. Greg Cosell of NFL Films. Is Philip Rivers too old? What about Juwan Jennings? And what about Ricky Pearsall and everything into the 49ers situation with Greg Cosell coming up next on Willard and Dibs?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Work on your material. There you go.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
I mean, some would say the toughest half hour of the week. Some would say the best half hour of the week.
It could be both.
I think it often is.
Yep.
And when I say toughest, mainly for you, because you're forced to really get in your bag and bring it.
Well, because I know a lot about football, and not often am I confronted by somebody who may actually know as much about me, about football, as I do.
What if we actually bring Greg Cosell, NFL Films, behind the curtain? Greg, do you know that Dan Dibley wants to be you?
Well, he'd be the only one then.
Yeah, well
it's funny because I grew up, and as a kid, I wanted to be your uncle and then Howard Cosell, and I realized early on that I wasn't good enough or smart enough, and so as I've gotten into this business, I've gone from wannabe Cosell to wannabe Cosell. I want to be you, Greg.
Wow. I don't know what to say in response to that. Now, let me ask you this. Did you grow up in the Bay Area?
I did, yeah. And, you know, when I was a kid, and I'm in my 50s now, life was your uncle and Monday Night Football. And the only time I ever got to leave the dinner table was Monday night for halftime highlights. And so, you know, your Uncle Howard would do his thing, and I got to leave the table for five minutes or whatever and actually watch Howard Cosell do halftime highlights and Dandy Don. And, you know, turn out the lights, the party's over, and the whole thing.
Yeah, and Howard did all that extemporaneously, too. No preparation whatsoever.
And just the voice and the clarity and just the excitement that, you know, that he would bring. So that's what I wanted to be. But now that I'm really into football and, you know, you break down film like you do, I want to be you, Cosell.
Oh, that's nice to hear. You're probably the only one, but thank you.
No, it's a big deal around here, Greg, because that's why the rest of us look forward to Wednesday, because we get to talk to you the other 6 days of the week. Dibs is like scratching things out on paper, trying to be you. And it's just, we're excited when you join us on the River Islands guest line and we can talk to actually you and not the fake you.
Oh, wow.
Well, it's funny because there's so much from watching tape that just requires people to see that it's hard to get into. And when I watch, I'm fascinated by football because to me, because I didn't play in high school growing up in Queens because my high school didn't have a football team. So I played basketball and baseball. So I find football as to be an academic and intellectual experience. So that's the way I see it when I watch. And so much of that, you can't really just talk about, let's say, in a 15-minute segment because, you know, fans can't see it. So, you know, I've tried to learn how to talk about things beyond just the obvious, like, well, they got to run the ball. You know, I tried to go beyond all that, you know, to the point, though, where I hope that fans can at least, you know, take more in than just the obvious cliche stuff.
Okay, so then how would you describe the experience of watching a 44-year-old grandpa play quarterback last week?
Well, you know, it's funny. I mean, obviously, even at the end of his career, which ended in 2020, he couldn't throw it very well. But the thing that stood out to me watching Rivers from this past Sunday, and obviously he still can't throw it very well, that's not a profound statement, but the two things about Rivers that remain from his past and that were very evident watching the tape is that he sees the field with clarity and he's an aggressive thrower willing to throw it into windows. That's who he was as a player. And there was always a toughness to Philip Rivers. He's going to be a very fascinating discussion, guys, and now it's going to be five more years further down the road. But he's going to be a fascinating discussion for the Hall of Fame because, obviously, he didn't, you know, win a championship game. He didn't get to a Super Bowl. I know there are people who we all would respect greatly that think he was a better quarterback than Eli Manning, but he does not have two Super Bowl. You know, he doesn't have any Super Bowl appearances. But you saw that immediately when I watched the tape. But he just can't get the ball out. You know, I mean, everything has to be short to intermediate. But you even saw just watching the game and then watching the tape. And I never try to figure out, by the way, what quarterbacks are doing at the line of scrimmage when they're doing a lot of gestures and talking because, you know, you never know. So I don't spend a lot of time with that. You know, the people who act like they know, they don't know. But there's no question he's a guy that orchestrates, controls the game before the snap. In many ways, in his prime, he was just like Peyton Manning. He just wasn't spoken about that way. But he controlled the game at the line of scrimmage.
And you watch the game against Seattle, and I'm looking at the numbers, 4.4 yards per attempt. How much of the just check down city are they doing with Philip Rivers, and is that what the Niners should be expecting come Monday night?
Well, the big question is, you know, if you're Robert Saleh with your corners, Lenore and Green, you know, do you want to, you know, sit on routes? Because it's not likely that he's going to be throwing deep balls. Now, obviously, he can probably still throw a fade ball, which is not an arm strength throw. But, you know, clearly he's not going to sit in the pocket for 3 seconds, get late in the down, and drive the ball down the field. That's not really going to happen. I think the throw that was his deepest air yards throw was the interception at the end of the game when you had to try to push the ball down the field because you had to get into field goal range. But other than that, I mean, his best play and throw was probably 17 yards to Warren near the end of the first half, where he clearly understood what the defense was doing, and he threw it into a zone void, and it was a 17-yard play. But it's a just by necessity, because of his limitations, it's a limited pass game. It's a condensed pass game would be the better word.
Here's what I'd love to know from the perspective of the 49ers defense. Does Philip Rivers having an inability to really bring a downfield game, does that allow the 49ers to load the box? In other words, does Philip Rivers' presence help the 49ers with Jonathan Taylor?
It should. Now, here's something that's fascinating. Mike McDonald, who, as you guys know, is one of the bright young coaches in the league as a head coach, but also an outstanding defensive coach. The pass game approach he took versus Rivers and the Colts was to just rush with his four-man D-line, which, by the way, is very good, particularly on the inside with Williams and Murphy, and play with seven in coverage. But he played a much higher percentage of man coverage than has been the Seahawks' MO all season. So what he decided to do, because he's not been a high-percentage man-to-man defensive coach this year, McDonald I'm speaking about, is he decided in this game against those receivers and Rivers to play a lot more man coverage. Now, I don't know what Robert Saleh will do, you know, whether he believes that his corners and safeties as well, because they do factor in, can they do that? But I think for sure you can get people into the box. Obviously, you study that run game in detail. You see the kinds of runs they like. They're pretty diverse as a run team with Taylor. But, you know, the great thing about what McDonald did is the longest Taylor run in that game was 11 yards. There were no explosive runs. That's what you have to prevent. You have to prevent the explosive runs.
And that's something the Niners didn't do against Tennessee. And I wonder what you saw on the tape where, you know, Pollard had some explosives. Are the Niners just getting pushed off the ball, especially, you know, in that interior?
Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned that because there was one run in particular that posed some problems in the game for them, and that's a run that we call duo, where there's two double teams on the defensive tackles, and then you push back and you go to the second level. And they had some issues with that. Their tackles did get pushed back a bit, and, you know, Pollard obviously had a couple of runs that were longer, but I'm talking about even the 6, 7, 8 yard runs, because those are the runs that really matter. Those are the runs. You know, if that's what happens with Jonathan Taylor, even if he's not breaking a 30-yarder, and Rivers can be somewhat consistently in the second and fours and the third and threes, then the fact that he doesn't have the big arm becomes less of an issue because he doesn't have to drive the ball down the field in those situations.
Is he probably, like, did you see him? He's a smart guy, and he's never been good. You know, he's never been a mobile guy. To begin with, I wonder about the Niners' pass rush. They're on pace to obliterate, and this is a bad thing, the record for the least sacks in a season by a 49er team. But they're going up against somebody who wasn't mobile when he was 25, and now he's 44. Yeah. Like, how do you see that matchup this week?
Yeah, well, that's going to be interesting as to how Robert Saleh chooses to play it, guys. Does he choose to just rush four and play coverage? Does he choose to increase his pressure frequency? They played with a backup right tackle last week, a rookie, Jalen Travis from Iowa State, who I personally liked a lot coming out, but he played right tackle for the Colts. Their starting left tackle, Raymond, got hurt in the first half, I believe, and they ended up playing with a backup left tackle. So I didn't look at the, you know, it's only Wednesday and it's a Monday night game, so you're not going to necessarily get a lot of the injury reports yet. So I don't know the status of that, but they could be playing with two backup offensive tackles, the Colts, that is, and then you have to decide, can we win one-on-one? Can Huff win one-on-one? You know, how are we going to attack? You know, that to me is a big question for Robert Saleh, who obviously knows more about defense and his players than I do.
And on the other side of the ball, DeForest Buckner is a maybe at best, and they're already down both of their corners with Sauce being out and Mooney Ward not playing as well. And coming off of Brock Purdy's game, just going back a little bit, Greg, what did you see from Brock? Because Mark and I were both thinking that might have been his best game of the year.
Yeah, and I was just so really disappointed, and I guess we're not going to know the answer to this about Ricky Pearsall getting hurt on his last catch of the game, which ended up being the catch that you know, I don't want to say it sealed the game, but it was obviously a big catch. So I guess we're not going to know that. So we won't really discuss that, other than the fact that I thought Pearsall looked great. And it's, you know, it's funny, when I was watching the tape before I really knew what his injury was, I was thinking of you guys, because every week you ask me, you know, what about Ricky Pearsall?
Yeah.
What are you know, and He kind of looked okay, didn't you think?
He looked great.
he looked fantastic.
He's fantastic. I think everybody's got the same question, which is just, and I never know if this is bad luck or if a player should be held accountable for this in some sort of a way, but he's got to find a way to stay healthy, I guess. That's everyone's question.
That, yeah. You just never know. So we're not going to know the answer to that. You know, obviously a lot of people say, well, they should sit him down and, you know, get healthy for the playoffs. By the way, there's no guarantee of anything right now with three games to go. So, and coaches and players don't think that way. If he gets cleared, he's going to play.
Yep.
And we're not going to know that. So let's not discuss it. But getting back to Purdy, you know, I thought Purdy was really sharp. I love what they do with motion. I love the way it creates things. You know, he was outstanding on third down. He was 9 for 10 for 95 yards and both touchdowns. 7 of the 9 completions resulted in first downs. You know how good they were overall on first down. It allowed on third down, excuse me. They controlled the ball for more than 37 minutes because of that. I just thought it was a really, really efficient game. And the thing you saw with Purdy, and, you know, again, when Mac Jones played and everybody was like, Mac Jones versus Purdy, blah, 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 because Mac played well, no question. But you saw the movement that Purdy brings to the table. He's just a better athlete. He can make plays with his legs. You know, so, you know, look, Purdy's been back for 4 games. They won all 4. Obviously, he had the 1 game where he threw the 3 picks on Monday night. We talked about that then. But for the most part, I think he's been pretty sharp.
Greg Cosell, NFL Films, with his weekly visit here on Willard and Dibbs. I'm glad the name Mac Jones came up. I have an off-the-beaten-path kind of a question. There's a report out there that there are some teams that might kind of be good fits or knock on the door of Mac Jones in the offseason, and in light of Daniel Jones' injury, the Colts may still want Daniel long-term, but they're going to need to figure something out short-term. So I wondered if you think that Mac Jones' skill set would be a good fit with the Colts next year.
Well, it's funny because of what's happened in the NFL this week, the guy I think would be the best fit would be Mike McDaniel in Miami.
Interesting.
It's a very similar offense, obviously. Now, McDaniel obviously was with Kyle for years and years and years. So he certainly knows the Kyle Shanahan offense extremely well. We know he's a run game savant, but even in the pass game, I'm sure the concepts are very, very similar in the way they're taught. And who knows what they're going to do with Tua. They can't cut him. I read today that if they cut him, it's a $99 million cap hit. So, oof. You know, he's going to end up being, you know, I'm sure a backup, I would think. We'll see what they do. You know, with someone like Mac Jones, who is not going to be getting $50 million a year to sign a contract. I mean, so, you know, he could be available in that regard. But, you know, Shane Steichen's a very interesting guy. He's – without going into detail, he really understood how to get the best out of Jalen Hurts. I think he knows how to get the best out of quarterbacks that have different skill sets. You know, in other words, he's not one of those coaches that here's the way I do it and you've got to fit it. I think he's one of those guys that looks at the traits and skill sets and attributes of the quarterback and says, here's what he is, here's what he isn't, and I'm going to make sure that I play to his strengths and minimize his limitations. I think Shane Steichen's really good at that.
Anthony Richardson has an outside chance of being cleared. If he is, Greg, what do you see from him on tape that is positive? And, I mean, certainly based on that that noise, I don't know if you sneezed, Gesundheit, but positives and negatives of Richardson.
Know, this is not an Anthony Richardson knock in any way, shape, or form. But, you know, as I've done this, and just because of my background, I'm a quarterback guy. I love studying quarterbacks. I love talking to coaches about quarterbacks. You know, coaches ask me my opinion about quarterbacks because they know the kind of work I put in. And the thing that is tiring to me now, and I fell into this when I started years ago because it's easy to, and then I just kept learning more. I get tired of hearing that a quarterback has great traits because he can throw it hard and run fast. Because I don't think that any coach who's really a good offensive coach and quarterback coach would say those two things anywhere near the top of the list in evaluating and discussing quarterbacks. Those are, you know, and that's what Richardson is at this moment in time. Now, again, he's a young kid. I don't know Anthony Richardson. I don't know his work ethic. I don't know anything about him. But he's very young, and he was drafted high because people saw the fact that he's 6'5", 250, or maybe even more, but he's an unbelievable athlete the way we think of athlete, you know, and he can throw it hard and throw it far, and he can run fast. But as far as the nuanced, subtle detailed traits of playing the position, he would have a very long way to go.
Greg, I'm still trying to get a read on what the Colts' defense is. Like, in a general sense, who have they been this year? What are their weak points that the 49ers can attack?
Yeah, well, they've had issues with injuries and who they've had to play on the back end. You know, they're a team like, for instance, last week, and again, I don't know their injury situation. Mekhi Blackman played every snap at outside corner. They played this kid Edwards, who's been in it, played at times through this season. He played the higher percentage of snaps at the other outside corner position, with Mitchell getting some snaps as well. We know Kenny Moore has been in the league for a long time, still a solid slot corner. I really like their safeties, guys, Nick Cross and Cam Bynum. I think they're a really good safety tandem. But, you know, and at linebacker, they've got Zaire Franklin, who every year is among the top five in tackles, just a really solid, good player. They brought in, because of Lou Anarumo being there, they brought in Jermaine Pratt, who Lou had in Cincinnati. So he's now starting with Pratt. Franklin. He's another solid player. Up front, they play a lot of people. So, you know, they mix and match. Latu, they drafted in the first round a couple of years ago. I think he can become a really good pass rusher. He's probably not quite there yet. But, you know, so they got to, you know, it's the back end at corner, not at safety, at corner, that's questionable right now.
When you look at their front seven, they've been really good against the run most of the year. I know a lot of that was with DeForest Buckner, but how does that match up with a Niner team that has really struggled to run the ball this year?
Yeah, the Niners' run game's been interesting because it's been a struggle, but it hasn't been terrible. You know what I mean? It's like you watch some teams, like Seattle is really struggling to run the ball. When I look at the Niners, you know, early in the season, maybe the first month, I would say they struggled. But I would say recently it's become a little more, not a struggle, certainly not explosive, but they're grinding out hard yards. You know, so they're able to at least run the ball, sustain, not be in a ton of third and longs. You just haven't seen, you know, McCaffrey break any, you know, and I'm sure people then think, well, he's lost a step. You know, I don't know what that means, but he's still, I'll tell you what, he gets hard yards. He is a hard, hard runner. And, you know, they're able to sustain. They're not stuck with a lot of third and nines.
Greg, you were talking earlier about the Seattle defense. I'd love to jump off of the Niners for a second, ask you about tomorrow night and sort of see what you think about potentially what the Rams are dealing with if they've got no Davante Adams and the matchup against that Seattle defense.
Well, you know, it's fascinating because since week 7, the Rams have played 41% of their offensive snaps with three tight ends. But one of the games in which they did not play with a high percentage of three tight ends was against Seattle week 11. But of course they had Davante Adams. And if Adams is clearly out, which I think he will be, I don't know if it's been officially announced, but if it's a hamstring, I can't imagine him playing 4 days later. Then we'll see if they choose to play as high a percentage with three tight ends. You know, I think they might, because they wouldn't have Davante Adams.
Right.
And I really like Seattle's defense a lot. They're not a high percentage blitz defense, yet they pressure the quarterback at a really high rate. They play a good amount of zone coverage on the back end. They're a big nickel defense. They play big nickel with Nick Emmanuel at safety, the third safety, and he's been a great player for them, a rookie, really good player. And they play dime. So they play big nickel and they play dime. That's what they play. And they're really good up front. Ernest Jones has been really good at linebacker. And they're just a really good defense. Good players playing well, good scheme. You know, not high-pressure scheme, but a good scheme. I like watching them. They're fun to watch. And I tell you what, they got guys who play with a swagger, like Witherspoon, Devin Witherspoon. You know, he's one of those tempo setters. He plays with a swagger.
Adams has officially been listed as doubtful for tomorrow night. So maybe, I mean, you know, now that Greg Cosell, NFL Films, but he has also over the last month become one of America's most foremost handicappers.
Greg Stradamus.
And so maybe we could find out about tomorrow night, which matters a lot to Niner fans, and Monday night. Come on, what's the big pick, Greg?
I can't do tomorrow night.
Why?
It's one of those games. That's a hard one. Then I'm just, you know, throwing you know what against the wall.
That's
I'm just guessing. I'm just making it up.
Okay, yeah, all
picks.
Right.
Yeah, but picks against the wall.
You know, this is no knock on you guys, but I like to think I have a little more just with what I do, like some relative integrity about it. I don't want to just guess on who's going to win a game.
No, you're actually on a show right now that has no integrity, Greg.
Yeah, and a show that constantly makes guesses. And, I mean, the pick, Greg, is the under 42.5. We both know that.
Does that mean that they think they're going to score less combined than 42.5? Is that what that means?
It sure does.
Yeah, that's what the indication would be.
Okay. I don't know any of that stuff that involves betting, so right. That's why I asked.
No, but
I
think a couple that's of really good defenses, right? Mind. Yeah, some good defenses, no doubt.
Go ahead.
No, Greg, I was going to say real quick before you go, and maybe instead of a pick, how about should the Niners put in a claim on Matthew Judon released today by the Dolphins? What do you still see in him at age 33?
I haven't seen a ton of that defense this year, although they've played extremely well over the last month, by the way, extremely well from this what I have seen. The fact that they released Judon tells me that they don't think he has much left. Now, again, you know, like I said, I haven't studied him as an individual, so I can't really answer that. But, you know, obviously they have a pro personnel department that studied him in detail. We'll see if they feel he still has something. And sometimes you just need bodies. I mean, sometimes you just need bodies at a position, and they may feel we want to bring in a body. And, you know, if he can play 15 good snaps, that's okay. But, I don't know exactly where Judon stands right now in his, you know, with his age and obviously his declining number of snaps.
All right, there it is. Greg Cosell says put all the Christmas cash on a Seahawks-Niners parlay. Prime time coming up this week. that's how we're going to do it. Hey, Greg, great to have you as well. And happy holidays to you. I don't know if we'll get to talk to you next week.
Maybe we can figure something out, because how can I get through a week without talking to you guys?
I think a Tuesday Cosell could be in order.
Oh, yeah.
I think so.
Yep.
Let's talk it out, Greg. Thank you.
All right, guys. Appreciate it. Thanks so much.
All right. There he goes. Greg Cosell, NFL Films, and call his message phone 1-888-PARLAY-NINERS on your message phone.
There it is.
Yeah,
and, the pick is in for tomorrow, but I do think that it's an under game. Those two teams, December, Thursday night.
Sure.
Yep.
Warrior Wednesday brought to you by Freeman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances and live work and vignettes. Visit Freeman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today. We're also brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. Okay, we're going to get back to your Kerr phone calls shortly, but we also, just stay tuned so you can figure out why we want to talk about Juwan Jennings. That's next on Willard and Dibs.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
It's a little outrageous. Oh, I'm super annoying.
Now, back to
Dillard and Wibbs
on 95.7 The Game.
All right, that was, I thought that was interesting stuff from Greg.
Yep.
Mac Jones to the Colts, Matthew Judon to the Niners. Phillip Rivers can't throw.
I mean, he can, and I mean, I'm sure you watched most of that game, if not all of it.
I watched a lot of it.
Check down, Charlie.
Yeah. Oh,
and,
yeah.
And that's going to be the way it goes here, and so that's why I thought it was interesting what he said about, you know, what Robert Saleh will do. No need to blitz if he's going to throw the ball in 1.7 seconds. Just rush four, rally up, and tackle.
So we didn't ask Greg about this, because it'll be a conversation for a later date. I don't think we need to tell you any of this. The 49ers wide receiver room has become the Kuminga of the Niners. In other words, like, there's not just the Brandon Ayuk situation, but Ricky Pearsall's really good when he plays, but is he ever going to always play? There's that question. Don't forget that Juwan Jennings had his own contract dispute at the beginning of the season. And I think we went into the year when he finally started playing and said, this will be his last year with the Niners. And now with Ayuk gone and another at least solid enough kind of performance, you wonder, wait a minute, are the Niners interested again? And is Juwan interested again? And what kind of offers will he get out there? I don't know about you, Dibs, and I know, for instance, you have multiple plays in tonight's $1.25 billion Powerball drawing.
Multiple, yep. So if I don't show up tomorrow, you know why.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I do. Money changes people.
Yep.
And I don't mean necessarily at their core, but it changes your view on the situation.
Sure.
So, because by the way, I'm in on the drawing as well. And if I win it, I will be here tomorrow. I don't know if I'm going to be here next week.
Such a liar.
No, I'll be here tomorrow. I mean, you know, got to gloat. But
totally.
Plus, I got to hand out some. I got to hand out
some millions.
Yeah. Yeah. I
no
got
doubt.
You covered.
Yeah. Thank you. You better.
1.25 Billy? Everybody here is going to get a taste.
Work spouse. I'm not looking for 50%, but
no.
I'm looking for more than just a.
Yeah, you'll get the biggest piece.
Okay. Appreciate that.
Yeah, you'll get at least
the big 10, piece of chicken.
At least 10,000.
I'll take 10K.
Anyway.
I'd be so mad if you won.
Would you?
Yes.
Would you really? Even though that's your second best way of getting in on the money?
Yeah.
You could either win it. The next best thing that could happen would be I win it because I'm going to give you some.
Yeah.
You would
that's
want.
That's a guru move right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, like you'd root against that?
I'm not rooting against it, but
I'd give you a really big piece of the pie.
You said 10 grand. Is it worth
10?
Is it worth 10 grand to me to watch you? I can't believe I won the lottery.
You wouldn't need to watch nothing, homeboy, because I won't be here for long.
Yeah.
I'd be here long enough to hand you something.
Appreciate that.
I probably roll through the football season. I used to say that I wouldn't quit. Life has changed.
Right.
Life has changed.
You're 50.
Yeah. Well, and there's just stuff going on. It's kind of like Joe Burrow.
It's no
lot,
doubt.
There's a lot going on. I would be out. But I would like, I'd make that landing as soft as possible. Sorry, Grandy. Grandy's pissed because he wants to take over the very next day. You'll get a piece too, Grandy. Don't worry.
What's going on?
Nothing. We're spitballing. Oh, okay.
We're Powerball anyway, dreaming right
yeah,
now.
Anyway, my point is, as we just detailed, money changes the calculus. So, Juwan Jennings was really mad at the beginning of the year, right? I wonder, because all those incentives that got reported, and we were kind of like, ooh, and Juwan's with the rib injury, and he's mad, and now Brock's hurt, and so the Niners aren't throwing the ball downfield as much, and this, that, and the other, and it's not going well on those incentives. Would you like an update?
I would, yeah.
All right, here's where we sit on Juwan Jennings' incentives. For 50% of the offensive snaps, he will make $1.5 million, and so far he's played 67% of the snaps.
All right. I like his chances there.
Okay. He will make another $666,000 if he gets 60 catches. He currently has 44.
All right.
Three games to go. Needs 16 catches.
That one is in the balance.
It's tough.
Yeah.
I would say that's a little less than 50. That's less than likely.
It depends on Ricky Pearsall.
Yeah,
if Ricky's out,
that too.
I mean, Juwan may have to eat more.
Another 666K. If he gets to 600 receiving yards, he's currently at 495.
I like his chances yeah, there, although you do have to factor in the likelihood of him getting ejected.
Good
which
reference.
Cost him 1,000 last year.
It did. But he only needs about 34, 35 yards a game with the remaining three in order to hit that one. How about this? If he plays 15 games, $2.4 million, he's played 12. Don't get hurt, Juwan.
Right.
Three to go. Got to play them all.
And plus playoffs, though. I think that also factors in.
I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe. If the 49ers make the playoffs, look solid, and Jennings plays at least 35 offensive snaps in a playoff game, $600,000.
All right, Juwan.
Okay. So there's a lot that really look like they're going to be achieved, a bunch more that have a strong chance of being achieved. I think if Juwan pretty much stays healthy through the rest of the year and the Niners don't uncork a three-game losing streak right now, Juwan's going to get a bunch of this money. And does that soften whatever the hell y'all were arguing about in July and August? Because for me, Dibs, and I think you agree with me, boy, my opinion has changed big time. Partially because of Ayuk, partially because Jordan Watkins hasn't turned into much of a thing.
Right.
Ricky Pearsall's injuries, et cetera, et cetera. I want Juwan Jennings back next year. I don't think that was necessarily the Niners' plan at the start of the year. I hope it's their plan now.
It should be their plan because you look at what else is going on. Brandon Ayuk had his guarantees voided, and now he's doing the Chris Brown. He's putting his deuces up, so he's out. And you mentioned, what, Jordan Watkins? He's played 17 snaps,
yep,
which is the same number as Malik Turner. I don't even know if you've ever heard of him. He's also played 17 snaps. Sky Moore, 94 snaps. And you know what, Sky? You stay, you return kicks. I love you in that role.
Yep.
After, and I was going through my notes. I did a deep dive on some of the Niner stuff, and I went through all of my handwritten play-by-play notes, and like five or six times, Grandy, I have written down either should have had a fair catch or ran away from a kick or caught it at the four. And now the last like 7 or 8 weeks, he has been amazing. So, Sky, you come back. DeMarcus Robinson, quietly getting better as a wide receiver, whatever, three or four.
Yep.
So, and he signed, so he stays. Marquez Valdez-Scantling, I believe he's a Steeler.
I think he's a Steeler.
He's a Steelers.
I think he caught a touchdown the other night.
Russell Gage, 28 snaps. Kendrick Bourne, he's going to leave. Ricky Pearsall, you can't stay healthy. So when I run through that whole list, you've got DeMarcus Robinson, wide receiver three, a Ricky Pearsall question mark, and then Juwan. So I'm with you. Like, let's get this done in the offseason.
Yeah.
Give him a real contract.
I don't know where the relationship is. I don't know. I don't know where it is. I don't think it's, like, awful. It's not Ayukian.
Thank you.
But I don't know where that sits.
I would bet that the relationship is better than we think.
Maybe. And I also don't know. You know what I really am fast? I don't know what kind of offers he's going to get. I don't know what the league thinks. I don't know if Juwan Jennings has a little Draymond Green in him where people are like, oh, that works really well with the 49ers. You do third down, you're big, you block, you're not a downfield threat very much. The Niners don't throw downfield very much. That's a great fit. No, we don't want you with the Bengals or whatever. You know what I mean? But I think there are a lot of places where he would fit. I think he's going to get some interest. And the wide receiver market is so bananas that, you know, even if you look at someone and you're like, oh, you're just kind of okay, that can be $15 million a year or more.
Right.
So I don't know. I don't think the Niners are going to want to go way deep into the pockets, although in theory they're going to have some money to spend that they didn't think they would in the wide receiver room because Brandon go bye-bye.
Right. And if you look at what they have outside of Juwan Jennings and Brandon Ayuk, you've got Ricky Pearsall, who is an unbelievable route runner. He's a great receiver. He's got that top end speed and the ability to break it off and, you know, do the whole route tree. He's not much of a blocker per se. And then you've got Juwan Jennings, who absolutely looks to go out there and hurt people as a blocker. And when you're in the Shanahan system and Greg Cosell, and I hate to steal your bit, but they run a lot of 21 personnel, which means two wide receivers. If you have two receivers, two running backs and one tight end, one of those receivers at least has to be a blocker, and that's Juwan Jennings. It's not Jordan Watkins. It's not DeMarcus Robinson, although I think he's a pretty good blocker. It's not Sky Moore. So if you have a guy in Jennings who's a little bit like Debo when it comes to blocking in the run game, he's not only willing and able, but he's damn into it.
No, he's a dog, man. I mean, Juwan Jennings.
And you
Jennings,
need a dog in this offense.
Juwan Jennings on multiple fronts. We've watched this for a couple years now. Quite frankly, as all of the injuries and the situation that developed last year with Ayuk and Debo and whatnot, we got to know Juwan a lot more. You know, he had that epic game in L.A. last year where they ended up losing, and it was a career-altering performance for Juwan Jennings, and he was ticked after the game because the team lost. And that was the first moment for me where I'm like, I like the way this dude's wired. Now, whatever happened in the offseason, was there actually a calf injury? Look, business gets wonky. That was one of those ones where I couldn't really put a finger on or even really have a need to place blame. It happens. It is what it is. They figured it out. I knew that Juwan was going to come and show up and play when it was time to do that, and he did. And he's played well, and he's played through broken ribs, and like he's just wired the way that you want someone on your favorite team to be wired. And therefore, and he also has chemistry with the quarterback. So to me, that's really, really important in this discussion. By the way, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, Odyssey Sports Station, home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.